Good afternoon, everybody. Good evening. Good morning. Where are you? What time is it where you are? This is Veronica Entwistle. You've tuned into Radiance by Design, which is it's a show. It's an artful show teaching you meditation, sounding, breathing, opinion, attitude, mind control by you, and visualizations and so on in order to lift and radiate at a higher frequency level. What we want to do is radiate at a higher level as consciously as we can. And you know that when we wander into a room feeling all droopy and lonely, because that's what we're going to talk about today is loneliness, when we're feeling all droopy and lonely, we send that message out and people around us pick it up as well. So our job here on Radiance by Design is to learn how to do something differently, to do something consciously. Last week we were talking about loneliness, and I got hooked off stage by an awful lot of noise in my phone system. So some of you phoned me about that. That was quite good. And you listened to the loneliness talk from the week before. So we're going to go back in and finish loneliness today. We'll never really finish it, but it's such an interesting subject. My guides talk about it as a basically how they talk about it is it's very often, and not always, not only, a drive deep within yourself to accomplish something in this life, to prove something in this life, to complete something in this life. And that drive comes up through us in an energetic way. And where the drive is sort of aching to be noticed, to be absorbed or integrated into your life, it can feel like loneliness, like alienation. Have you ever been in a gathering or a room full of people in which none of the conversation really relates to you or pertains to you? Oh, heavens, that can feel lonely. Sometimes it doesn't feel lonely. It just feels irritating, boring and stuff. But other times you can feel absolutely appallingly alone and lonely in the middle of it. And one of the things we'll do at that point is to go out, or we used to when we didn't know any better, go out and attach to various people in the group, in order to, in quotes here, belong, in order to make some kind of connection that maybe would work. And sometimes that pulls us off our path, or some of you know what it's like to marry the wrong person so that you'll be in that wonderful identity called marriage, and you won't really have to think about what's pulsing through your soul journey, what's causing aching and craters of misery inside of yourself. And then you marry somebody, and guess what? It doesn't change your life except to amplify that search deep within that is not being answered by an external identity situation. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? And I was talking to Vicky today. Vicky's a wonderful healer. I've known her for many years since she was a UPS truck driver. And we were talking at great length today, and it was a wonderful conversation. She was talking about how she had to learn about putting on somebody else's shoes, and that somebody else's moccasins, somebody else's shoes, somebody else's boots don't really fit her. And I was laughing. I said, well, isn't that a funny image? Because the reality, oh, and she says, and we don't realize when we put somebody else's shoes on that they're not ever going to fit us, right? Because the old image is you put somebody else's shoes on, you can really understand how they feel in many ways. But we were taking this a bit differently, in a bit farther. So I was laughing at her in the way we were talking about putting on somebody's shoes and then realizing, or not realizing for quite a while, that that was somebody else's shoes and they couldn't possibly fit her. And then I laughed and said, maybe this is the real true story of Cinderella and the Wicked Stepsisters and all the shoes. But on the other hand, I also said to her, or I also peeked in my own brain, an awareness that many of us don't even know what our own shoes are like. Meaning, you put somebody else's shoes on, and boy, that's really discordant, or it helps you understand them, or whatever. But really, how many of us absolutely understand what our own shoes are like? What is our imprint in life? And is it going to stay the same? I always say, I'm 100 years old now, you know? And my shoes are always changing. My shoes are changing in terms of who I am, how I walk, where I walk, what it is I'm going to, because that pulsing drive from deep within, I think I can say this consistently, but gosh knows things change, but that pulsing drive from deep within that says, learn what it is and transform what you can and so on and so forth, keeps pushing me through different environments, different worlds, different friendships, different groups of people, different talents with my healing. It took quite a bit of crust breaking to get any kind of healing or psychicness up. But all of that changes the nature of my shoes. What kind of shoes do I wear? So we really had a lot of fun playing with that. And again, the loneliness can really rise when you don't know, probably it's that you don't know the next level of who you are and what it is you're bringing into the world. It's sort of an interesting concept, isn't it? So, the other thing, Bob always reminds me that how Lazarus teaches it is a wonderful, wonderful thing as well, which is loneliness is often when we feel that God kind of dropped us off here and deserted us and left us totally alone, unconnected from spirit, unconnected from all that is, and then we feel both abandoned, almost abused, I would say, from that huge disconnection, and that can create a huge ache in the body mind. The other thing I would like to say is that, you know, it's really worth thinking about that, isn't it? So I'd like to say that I'd like us all to go inside of ourselves and to wrap ourselves in light as well. First we'll wrap ourselves in light, and then we'll go inside, okay? Because then you're in this amazing little ball of light, which protects you from taking on more of the consensus, more of the collective, more of one another's feelings. Drop in there, way inside your carefully constructed bubble. Right. And in there, I want you to ask yourself to feel in your body, mind, emotional self, what loneliness feels like in you. What happens in your body? What happens in your heart and soul, in your etheric, wherever you get some awareness when you feel lonely? Okay. That was clear, because I just felt a ton of it, and I think, oh, that's not mine. Anyway, I want you to pay attention to where you feel it in your body and mind, and then we're going to create a structure. Most of you know the healing force of these vibrational structures that my guides have taught me. And somebody was just telling me today how much she enjoys. I finally got a video of myself talking about the structures on my website. That's veronicaentwistle.com, veronicaentwistle.com. Advertising myself, I am right here. But even though I couldn't get the graphics done, at least yet, there I am doing the meditation on my site, and you get to go in and enjoy it, or not enjoy it as you wish. But I think it'll guide you through what it is we're all trying to do. So let's all do the structures together. The meditational structures. Now remember, these are great places to take yourself to concoct around you this vibrational arena, if you want, or area in which you will be safe. I always say wrap yourself in light. Well, this is kind of like a much more intricate form of wrapping yourself in light. And you can go in there and amplify the work that you do on your own personal healing, on your exploration of the meaning of your life, or your healing of other people. So you can call it your little research lab, and gall darn it, you can bring it up anywhere in the world at any given time and nobody will even know. So let's take a few deep breaths. And then run some light through your body. Okay. And now you're going to see yourself way out in the galactic center, way out there. And drop a crystalline tube from way out in the galactic center down in through the top of your head, down through your spine, and into the core of the earth. Good. We want that energy there. And now above your head, perhaps 2 miles, 2 to 4 miles, a golden ball, and this ball is so incredibly golden, it's just radiant, it just shimmers out there. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And now drop from the upper golden ball down through this crystalline tube, right through your spine, right down into the lower golden ball, a crackling, sparkling filament of light. Good work. And now from the upper golden ball down to the waist height, drop a pyramid of light, a beautiful pyramid. And it's very, very bright. And you have a golden ball at every point of the pyramid. And now the same thing, an upside down four-sided pyramid that meets the bottom of our first pyramid. Got it? And the bottom point, because it's upside down, it points into the golden ball. So you're really shimmering in this golden octahedron, an eight-sided structure. And inside of it, you create a crystal ball, a beautiful crystal ball. Oh my, how many colors are in that? It's an amazing crystal ball. And I always feel such a shift in the energies when I bring that in. And now inside of that, I'm changing the structure a little bit. Instead of a double tetrahedron or a star tetrahedron, we're going to do a crystal disc. Looks like a little spaceship. You know, one of those spaceships that looks like a flying disc? And it's made of crystal. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And you're inside of it. And just watch it spin and spin and spin and feel the vibrance as you spin and spin and spin in it. Mine is always a blue-white. What color is yours? Now as you spin and spin and spin in your crystal disc, see in front of you a crystal grid. A grid is enormous. It's multidimensional. It's whatever you want it to be. And now on that or in that crystal grid, because I find it sort of somewhere in the fabric of it that my visualizations work. At first it was on top, so I think you have to let it emerge and tell you how it's going to work. And let's see something about yourself that you want to create in this, on this crystal grid. I always like to see myself becoming more and more multidimensional. Yeah. Happy, loving, absolutely, more and more and more loving. To be love rather than to be loving is a goal. You might have a different goal right now. That's fine, too. Okay, now beside that, is any anything you want to create, whether it's a love affair or a book or a tape or a house or a community or a tremendous project that's just going to knock the world's socks off. Yeah, whatever it is you want to do, to be. Yeah. And then when you're doing that, remember you want to feel it. Absolutely feel your presence in that. Good work. Now, beside that, we're going to do the Galactic Healing Room. And we're calling in our healing team. And some of you get some just amazing characters coming in when we call in the Galactic Healing Team. And some of you get just vibrance and shapes, and some get very little but feel it. Doesn't matter. I think we should either have a chair or a table in there so that you can lie people down or sit people down. Mm-hmm. Now bring in anybody you want to work on. You've got people in your family that are not feeling too well. Somebody's just passed over. Somebody's hurt some part of their body. Somebody's had surgery. Somebody's heartbroken. Bring that person in one at a time and have your healing team work on them. Sometimes it's amazing what they do to work on various beings. And sometimes you get clues about what's wrong with a person because you start to perceive that you think they're working on legs and they go right for the thyroid or something like that. You just never know, do you? Good. And when the healing activity is going well, and wrap the situation in light and move it aside and bring someone else in. and ask for the healing work for this other person as well. Okay, and when that gets going, you know, very often when I see it, it's as much pulling things out of people or clearing. My guides always say healing is about 95% clearing, releasing. But anyway, that seems to be what's happening. So let's move that person along, wrapped in light, so that that can continue. And put yourself in there. How do you need some help, or how do you need to be healed? Is it for your evolution? Is there something wrong in your world, physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual? Are you heartbroken? Are you broke? Whatever. So let's get some healing going. Okay, excellent. Good work. And again, wrap that in light and ask for a continued presence of healing for you, at least for a little while. Sometimes it just stops in about a minute, and sometimes it goes on for a while. It's okay. And now let's jump to the next frame, which will be in our crystal grid. This one is about loneliness. Remember, we talked about loneliness, and I want you to take a minute. Again, we're in a protected environment. If you have any questions and you want to double protect so that you don't take in other people's or you don't send yours out for other people to catch, throw yourself in a double tetrahedron, a three-sided pyramid pointing up, a three-sided pyramid pointing down, so it's like a diamond. Put yourself in that and spin and spin and spin. And now ask yourself to feel your loneliness. Where is loneliness in your body, mind? Mine seems to be in my legs and in my lower pelvic region, really deep. Sort of like a Scorpio would be, but I'm not a Scorpio. A lot of eighth house, so. And where's yours? Somebody's got it in the arms. Somebody's got it in the heart. In behind his eyes. Somebody's got it right across the throat and all down the gullet, right down the front of the person. It's really, really intense and almost sore. Just pay attention to where it is in your body. Because I'll tell you what, that tells you a lot about what the subject is under your particular loneliness. For example, the one that's got it in the throat and all down the gullet. All down, it's a funny word, isn't it, gullet? All down the sternum, stomach, gastrointestinal system, right down into the bladder and the pubic bone. Now let's take a look at that. That tells me that that person's loneliness is something to do with pulling herself back for safety at the same time she wants to go forward and really questioning and doubting her, I guess it's right, or whether she's ready or not. There's a part of this person that feels that she's not enough, and that if she goes forward, that's a problem for other people. There's all these really funny feelings. So I want to say this person becomes kind of indecisive. And now that loneliness, as we talk to her, the loneliness is drifting to the back, the lower back. Not lower, the lower upper back, meaning just above the waist. And I'm saying, okay, so when you're brainstorming, wherever yours is, it's moving, whether it's my legs, because it's moving. I'm seeing it move right now. We're going to exaggerate it. We want more information. My legs are looking for spirit support or feeling that there's an understanding back to what Bob said about Lazarus. Feeling that there is a connection with Mother, Father, God, and greater spirit that makes my life safe and loved and lovable, even though I don't feel it here. There's sort of an aching loneliness for that. And you and I know that we feel that sometimes, don't we? And sometimes we don't. Keep going, because sometimes you're going to have a different feeling than other times. It's a really good thing to bring up. Is underneath it, it's got imprints and challenges and belief systems and so on. And you're going to find out a lot about yourself by doing this. So let's go back into our structure, continue with the loneliness, and see where else you have it. Somebody's got it right across the shoulders, almost excruciating. You feel that? Let's clear it. See, sometimes when you know where it is and you start to talk to it about what the story is behind it, things start to move. There, it starts to lighten up, and then flush golden light through your body. You can use blue light if you want, but I like to use golden light. Put it through your body, flush. I call it the light gargle. The other thing you can do is spin in your tetrahedron, your double tetrahedron, or you can also ask your guides and angels. If you're in a hurry and it really is like that, you can say, okay, what is it? I want to know what it is, and then say, okay, please take it. Thank you very much, and it'll move. So we're going to spin and spin and spin back into our... one more thing before we come back out of the structure. I want us to move into the political realm. Remember, change the energy, change the reality. We're going into the world of politics. And next week is the up-and-coming installation, or what do you call it, when the president takes office. How exciting, and Mr. Obama is coming in, and we're going to pray and bless him and hope that he has all the support he needs to drive an unwieldy machine to a little more of a positive result. So in any case, let's look at the political situation right now. Yeah. That's it. Just look at the political situation, and then what is it you want to dream or create into the world? That's it. What is it you want to dream or create into the world that's political? You know what I want? I want to have the evolution of the species raise the frequency of a number of beings so that what's created is for the greater good of all persons. All purple. That'll work too, won't it? All right. So let's just send a bright pink light from your heart to, like a ribbon of light, send it to all the hot spots on the world to soothe and harmonize and even energize places of want and lack, pain and violence. And then dot it round the world to all these various places. And back into the White House, the Pentagon, UN, any political structures that catch your mind and your heart. And just flush it with pink light. And now have that pink light flush the entire surface of the world. So the world is just bathed in this radiant pink light. And as it radiates in a really, really strong way, quite a bit off the planet, maybe all the way up through the atmosphere. And then it comes back into your heart. All right. And now relax, and let's come on out of the structure and then spin and spin and spin in our beautiful crystal disc. Spin, and spin, and spin. And then pop into this room where we're going to talk about you. You want to call in and ask questions about loneliness or about your life? I would love that right now. That was a powerful exercise we did, and some of you were very, very proactive on that one. I could feel it. I could see it. And I'm very impressed. And those are the kind of exercises that can not only clear us from discomfort, for example, loneliness can create discomfort, but it can also answer the call of the discomfort. The discomfort is telling you something. And in our cases, all of us listening to Radiance by Design or BBS Radio, all of us are looking for a higher level of self or a more integrated level of self, aren't we? So it's going to answer a lot of your call of, like, who am I? What do my shoes look like? Can I walk a mile in my own shoes, or have I figured out what the next size is? So here's the numbers. Call in for 877-876-5227, 888-810-8322, okay, I better say this properly. That's from Canada, 888-810-8322. And the direct line is 530-876-5227. I'd love you to call in about anything that you're thinking about, that you're working on, that you'd like to share, whether it's about loneliness or whether it's about who you really are, whether it's about stretching and expanding and moving beyond various levels of self and some of the experiences you're having these days regarding the election and having Obama come in. And let me see, I was hearing, I don't want to get really negative here, but I hear that there's so much influence coming in from, in quotes, outer space as well. And this fellow was on, I think it was on BBS, it was on BBS Radio in an early program. I can't remember who the hostess is. I try to catch what's on at various times. And I don't even remember what the guy's name was, but he works in the space business somewhere. And he was talking about some of the really intense influences coming in from outer space, that there's a whole lot of what greed and so on coming from out there as well. And I was listening to it going, holy crud, what on earth are we supposed to do about all this? Which, of course, somebody else asked as well. They had callers saying, okay, what are we supposed to be doing right now? And then he started talking about something. This fellow is somewhere as a scientist. He's been out in space. He's been here. He's been there. And he's been in the system, you know. He's a very powerful man whose name I probably forget. But anyway, the question was really relevant, is what is the point of hearing all that stuff, that we have a lot of controls being placed on us as humanity, we are enslaved a lot of the time. We've heard a lot of that, too. Anyway, so what he said about it was something that you and I really know, which is that we as a species have been controlled, we've been programmed, we've been limited. For example, you get people forgetting things at a certain age, and then we start wondering if our brain's going to last, or if the denouement of the apple or the orange is going to continue at such a rate that we will age too fast to finish projects and so on, you know? And I think that that's kind of a part of the programming that we've endured as humanity, and that one of the goals that we have is to undo the programming and free ourselves so that we can become a self-designed or self-creative species. So anyway, this guy's is telling us all this doom and gloom stuff, and then he said, well, about what you can do about it, basically what he said is, if you drop inside and you start working on your spiritual growth, what's happening is we've got a caller, I'll just finish this thought, is vibrationally what's happening is that we're basically undoing all those programs. What we're doing is undoing those programs, and we're also passing it on vibrationally, because we're all one. So when I change and grow, it goes out there and it touches other people. When you change and grow, the same thing. We said is we are a shifting species. We can do it smoothly or not, but we are a shifting species, and that is what's going to save us and empower us in the face of all this other stuff that's going on out there, marauding as much as the egregious earth plane doodah is that's grabbing all the markets. So you're on the air after my political diatribe. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Jonquil.
Hey, Jonquil. How are you?
Happy New Year. I'm okay.
Happy New Year to you, my friend.
So here I am sitting here doing this meditation around what is loneliness, and I ended up feeling just this really hardness right around the kidneys and sort of middle lower back, and I got really cold. And when I think of loneliness, I always think of wanting to be wrapped in a warm woven blanket of a person who would comfort me from behind, like wrap me from behind, wrap their arms around me. And I guess my question is, what is the function of loneliness? Why do we have that urge?
Well, it's so interesting, because when I look at you, just let me take a minute. I'm going to pretend I'm a psychic here, Jonquil. Is that all right?
You do it really well.
Thank you, darling. What I'm looking at here is that, first of all, you're a very, very strong woman. But you have a lot of change, shift going on. Remember, I was talking about the shoes, and we didn't even know what our own shoes are like anymore after a while.
Mm-hmm.
and I'm looking at your kidney area. Kidneys hold what? Skitterishness, insecurity, fear of even fear of things like dishonesty and honesty, like how to trust. There's a lot of trust issues there.
Uh-huh.
Do you know that?
Yes.
Okay, so when I look at you, I feel this, that right now there's a deepening in you and there's a drive to become the deeper being that you are, somebody who's more self-styled, authentic, more true to the individual soul journey that you are, which ultimately we'll want to connect with our higher self on this level, right? And then I see around the loneliness and the meaning of the loneliness is more like this. I feel skitterish and scared and unable to step forward in the authenticity of who I am because I don't quite know what it is, but I know it's there and I have to have it. Did that make your breath weird or your swallowing or something?
It's kind of phlegmy in the throat.
Yeah. Because now I want you to drop back into the kidney area, although I'm looking at your hips here. Okay, let's go back into the kidney area, and I want to say, Jonquil, you're scared.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, now what happens in your body when I say that?
Well, I have one arm wrapped around my midriff fairly, securely.
Okay.
And the other one, of course, is holding the phone, but I feel the need to keep that arm there just to sort of hold me in the upright position. Otherwise, I would just sort of fold over.
Okay.
Like a weakness from the front.
So if you can...
Or vulnerability or some kind of just... I fear that when I open up to the new, it's just like the whole front half of me just really just opens up like doors, big petaled doors,
right,
folding doors, and then, there's this the exposure of that. The exposure is just, it's too much. It's like a lot of heat and ultraviolet radiation. on unprotected parts or something like that.
When you say exposure, is it a fear of being, is there any fear of being wrong in there?
No, it's just more lonely, or more aloneness, not loneliness, but I guess it's that ongoing fear of uniqueness, I guess, or something like the more I expose it or the more you see of it, the more you're likely to say, well, that's different, or look at her. I mean, in that it would be more isolating as opposed to freeing. I think I have a misconception about loneliness of finding, like one beetle recognizes another, trying to find somebody who is of my kind. So there's this fear of showing what I am, because then there is no one there.
Well, you said it beautifully when you said fear of your uniqueness, that it would isolate you further. That was a beautiful way of putting it. And I believe that any of us who step, I know Jonquil. Jonquil's an amazing artist. But any of us who steps into whether it's becoming an intuitive, I mean, that wasn't a piece of cake either. But stepping into that, there is that dreadful fear of the unknown, of being weird, of being different, of being unable to fit in. And indeed, that's going to be true. Because in some areas, you're not going to fit in any longer, right?
Uh-huh.
But it seems like it's
that barrier of opening up or stepping out is becoming somewhat transparent. I mean, I feel like I can see through it almost, but it's still this leathery, rigid enclosure, it's really strong, the urge to not.
Yeah, because what's so interesting about the collective is that it's like a huge corporation. It's so without sensitivity and soul and feeling of your authenticity. It's just kind of a sludge that we move in,
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Do you understand what I mean? It's kind of a metaphor, I guess. Because I see here that whether you call it aloneness or loneliness, there is a drive in you that wants to stop itself. And the drive, to me, has a deep feeling of aloneness and a fear of my aloneness, okay, which I would call loneliness, actually. And I would say it's a drive that's going to push you through those various membranes of thought and frequency in order to get to what is really your passion about being Jonquil. And the fact that it's hit your kidneys, oh, it's not so much in the kidneys now, it's more like it's in the sternum. Is it?
Well, maybe I don't know where my kidneys are. I feel like it's, no, it's above, it is above my kidneys. It's as if, you know, the way the ribs wrap around and hold all of your guts there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like the whole inside of that wrap around.
Well, I think you were right to call it vulnerability, but I would say that the loneliness is the drive. You could say, this is uncomfortable, but there's no going back, Jonquil.
Yeah.
You can't tuck it back. It's like tucking knowledge back. It's scary. I don't know where I'm going. I don't have any support in terms of what I've experienced and how I can lay the groundwork, but I still have to keep going.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
It does. And I guess the if I listen to what you've told me in the past or what I know to be methods of, well, how will you find direction for yourself, then meditate on that every day and ask for help with that, you know, ask for assistance with, here's another day, here's another time frame into which I can do anything, pour anything, you know, accomplish whatever I want, or choose out of a myriad of things. I mean, there are no requirements. You know, I'm not required to do anything, be anything, or, you know, there's no one out there saying, you're a mom, you have to act like this. You're a wife, you have to act like that. There's no one there but me, you know. So, therefore, I mean, that is really freeing. At the same time, it's that inspiration. Where's the inspiration going to come from if it isn't, you know, a daily meditation of ask the question into the void, I guess.
Well, one of the other things that I just want to remind you of something that the guides say over and over again, that 95% of the job is clearing. Because what we have over is like vibrational membranes. You know, it's like a, what do you call it, when they put those lines all around on a map to show you how high the mountain goes?
Yes, the topo maps, the terrain, yeah.
Yeah, it's like inside of us we have all of these, like, vibrational veneers. And you break out of them. So when you're saying there's nothing, I go, yeah, there's a huge void there in a way. But in another way, you have attachments to, this is what success is like. If I deviate too far, I won't have that. You see what I mean? And so when you don't know what to do, sometimes it's really helpful just to say, okay, let me look at some stuff I might be limited by. Let's look at success. What does success look like? Right? What does money look like? And it's like pulling those things up, feeling them, and clearing them away at least long enough to let something else come up. Are you doing art every day?
A little bit every day. I not as much as it could be if I, you know, applied the rules. I have been painting and looking at planning of sculptures that I want to do.
Oh, good.
So, you know, for the sculptures, it's drawings of what they are or where they're coming from. And, I draw so much inspiration from trees and nature. And so there's a whole other group of things emerging out of that visual inspiration. I've always believed, and I think it's shown to me over and over again in the physical, this beautiful connection to the spirit world, just like what you're constantly trying to do is draw a metaphor or draw some kind of an allegory that will help people get from here to there. You know, what is, what does that look like out there? What are the vibrations? What, how can that be described in a way that it's useful?
Yeah.
And a couple of weeks ago I was walking and I found this, you know, we've had big storms in the Northwest here, exploding trees, as you know, you guys lost your power. But one of the things that was happening was just, you know, trees falling all over the place and exploding. They don't just fall over, they explode.
Wow.
And that's important to understand, you know, that whole energy that was holding it upright explodes into the world. It's like, wow, this system that was perfect and holding itself together isn't anymore. Because of what? Wind? You know? I mean, at any rate, I picked up this piece of wood, and while it's the growth pattern inside of a tree, I see in this thing that I picked up as if waves, as if water, as if surf were captured in a physical static format, but still shows all the motion of water, if that makes any sense.
Yes, it does.
So this was is an inspiration for a sculptural piece that I want to do, but it's always interesting to me that, you know, right inside of one thing you don't suspect, you find
a message in a bottle.
Yeah, the connection to another. I mean, why would the way wood grain is growing infer perfectly the way surf is crashing? To me, you know, it disconnects, I guess.
Wow.
So.
Well, if I were you, I'd do some painting on that, but the other thing is I'd probably have to move on here.
Okay.
Yet I love your call. It was so rich in everything, metaphor, purpose, the whole thing.
Thank you. My back feels better right now. Thank you.
Good. Well, you're going to do really amazing work over the next couple of years, you watch.
Okay.
All right. Blessings.
Love your show.
Thank you, Jonquil. Love you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, now that was an interesting and a rather thorough call. We have time for another call if you want to call before it's 4:42, so we have a little time for a call. But isn't that interesting? So Jonquil was getting, when she was getting it around the lower part of the upper back. So the other thing to look at in that, like, where were you getting it? I should jump from Jonquil to a few other people here. Somebody got it right in the deep part of the belly, which, as you all know, is the subconscious. But the other fascinating thing is, many years ago, before I wore all this egg on my face, I used to say that you didn't need astrology. Oh, for heaven's sakes, we don't need that. It just makes you get stuck. And I was totally wrong on that, because it's how you use any of these tools. But when I was doing psychic work with some people, I'd say, you must be a Scorpio because, and I would see their inner process of divining the truth of who they are, how they thought things through, maybe a creative idea, how the invention would come up, would hit the lower part of the belly first. So I would see these little whirling pools of energy down way below the thought process. And then I'd say to the person, you probably don't know, by the time this thing hits you, by the time your creativity hits your brain, you've got the full thing. You don't think it through. It comes up through your body. And most of the time, the person would say, yeah, I'd say you Scorpio. They'd say yes. And so the other interesting thing is that it's different. Oh, goody, another call at 444. I just finished this thought. It's interesting that you will get loneliness differently than I, because I'm not a Scorpio, and you're probably not either. Some of you are. And so you'll get it in different parts of your body because your process of processing is different, and it's according to the energies that you are. Welcome. You're on the air. Thanks for being patient, I hope.
Yeah. Hi, Ronnie. This is Ted.
Hi, Ted. Well, you got really blitzed out last week because you got taken off the air with
me. I know. I was all set. I hope it's okay.
Of course.
Yeah. I've just been feeling some insecurity here recently, and I don't know that I feel loneliness so much. That's not a common emotion for me, but I sure get into feeling like there's not enough or I'm not enough. That's
But tell me this about your insecurity. Does it toss you from one side of yourself to the other so you're not really sure where you're going?
No, not so much. It comes and goes, though, you know. I mean,
well,
I don't feel
feeling?
It at this moment so much, but I sure did yesterday around this time.
Really?
Yeah. But it just comes and goes. And I do your technique of, you know, pulling it up, you know, that it's okay that it's there, and then releasing it, letting it go. I think that's a good way. It's in my face all the time because I don't know that I'm really making enough money. So it's just how much should I spend or how much should I not spend, and, you know, what's within my means and not, and, you know, all of that. So it's there.
Let me ask you this, Ted, just for fun. Have you ever had that feeling before?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever?
Not so much. It hasn't been that common. But I have had it before.
Like 20 years? Did you have it 20 years ago?
No. That was more enoughness about me. Yeah, then. And now I feel more confident than then. But that's been a nice change. But, now...
And how did you accomplish... Okay, here's what the guides are saying right away about that. Is that you have been there before, and you always got through it, and you got through it with greater knowing, and that's exactly what's going to happen with this. And
okay.
It's like a spiral. And it's going to keep coming through because several things about you is you're extremely sensitive, which maybe, I don't know if you realize that.
Yeah, I've seen it with this, on definite certain occasions.
are you a Libra?
I am.
Okay. Because I want to say you look like an air person. I couldn't remember your sign.
Yeah.
You look like an air person. I see the indecision, but I also see that evolutionary quality in you, which is very airy, meaning you can be really a mess, and then you're really together. Air people can do that a little better than some people.
We just keep
the world hopping. We confuse them, you know.
That's very true.
And the guides are saying this, that you work in spirals more than some people. If you pay attention to a feeling you've got now, you'll find it was there a while back, and then you cycle through, and then it comes back, and then you cycle through.
Yeah.
Each time, it's getting better.
Oh, good.
Now, the thing, you need to lay off the age factor.
Okay.
Because of what I see right now is when it comes round, it jams into your head where there's this thing of like, well, it's getting on. I have to deal with this really soon.
Mm-hmm.
You need to cut that if you can, because first.
And I can. I can do that. Yeah.
Yeah, and they say this, that over the next period of time, how you earn and create the funds, and this is true for a lot of people out there, so let's all listen to this part. They said how you create and accrue and gather the nuts and berries for your future is going to be very different. It's not quite a parallel structure or a spiraling structure. It's like going forward and doing all of this and then whoop, jumping over here and doing it that way.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to change entirely because the system has changed entirely.
Yeah.
And so even all of your insecurity and fear and all that's not going to be... It's like, I didn't worry about the right things, gall darn it. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
And you look like you're going to be absolutely fine. If I were to be a predictor, and I often kind of chide myself if I try to predict, but it looks like you're going to be really fine. It's like you climb up and develop something, and it's all going to work, and it's not in direct line with what you're doing right now.
Yeah, okay.
And so I'm not afraid for you, Ted.
Oh, good. I'm glad of that. All right. I want to leave time for other people. I feel like a...
Thank you for your call.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Veronica.
Okay, now, insecure, I just want to say one final thing after Ted hangs up here. Insecurity tells us we don't quite know what's coming up, but guess what? I think it was Alan Watts. Was it Alan Watts who wrote a book on the value of insecurity and the spiritual journey? It's really important not to know what's coming up and also to walk in sureness. You know, we can't be, insecurity is a very valuable radar system is what I'm trying to say. So sometimes we should work with that as well. And, so you got time for another call. I think we can go right to the top of the hour. So if you're sitting there with your dialing finger raring to go, just do it. And let's see, who else are we going to pick on here who's not calling in? All right, somebody gets a raging headache when it comes to loneliness. I don't know what kind of sign that is. That must be some sort of alien intervention. No, I'm teasing. Let's see here. Yeah. When I see the person with the headache from loneliness, what happens is it's a very deep, deep situation in the belly area. It goes up through from the perineal area, which is at the bottom of the torso, right up through to the belly area. And then it starts pulling on the brain, pulling on the head. You know how you have these things, so if you get certain gastroenteritis or something, you get a headache, it's like that. So this person has a weird head, but we're asking you to drop down. Everybody, drop down into your belly area. Made me burp, which tells you that I'm empathizing with that. And pull it up from the belly area. That means drop in there and feel it and see what happens to the headache. Do we have a caller on the line? Sounds like there's somebody on the line, doesn't it? No. Okay. All right. So I'm just saying the person with the head loneliness, and I think when we drop down to the belly and we started to really focus there, we could feel ourselves moving that particular pressure. Remember, these things that we're focusing on are densities that you store in your body somehow or another. And when you can release them by focusing on them, guess what? The whole thing rearranges itself. All right, let's see now. I want to see somebody else's loneliness. Yeah, here's another kind of loneliness. I know a lot of people. In this case, I know a lot of people who have had an experience like this at around 2 or 3 years old. They had a deep loss. It could have been the loss of a mother or father. This one, I started off looking at somebody whose mother had died when she was young. And I'm seeing a number of people who have had deep loss between, say, 2 and 3 years old. In fact, my uncle, bless his heart, just passed 2 days ago. And when he was little, his mom ran away, and his father put the kids all in an orphanage. And even when he was in his 80s, it was really hard for him to relate to his own inner child. I was talking to another friend about that today, and we were talking about a number of people in that vintage who had similar experiences. So I'm saying that when you have that deep, deep loss when you're small, the experience will maintain itself. Doesn't matter if you're almost 100 years old, does it? That deep experience is like a deep scar or a hole way down deep in yourself that may never get filled in this life and will keep a consistent loneliness there. And one of the ways to fill it, I suppose, is to drop in there and feel what it feels like and not deny it. So I realize it's 4:53, and even though we're going to go to almost the top of the hour, well, I guess we're going to have to end the show fairly soon here because we're going to prepare for Liz Mitten Ryan. Liz Mitten Ryan has written a book, an amazing book called One with the Herd. She has a whole bunch of horses up in northern BC, and she has learned to be, and she's going to be on with her friend Victoria Havercroft, and they are learning to communicate, or they have learned to communicate with animals, to hear the messages of animals. We talk about the shifting collective on our planet. Well, that includes animals and what they know and how us and our willfulness have ignored their message. But more and more we're waking up these days to the messages that animals bring. Hey, something else I forgot to tell you. I have a wonderful friend over in Costa Rica named Jill. Jill's a dear, dear friend. Jill Ruttenberg. She and her husband Bob have a place called Ama Tierra, A-M-A. T-I-E-R-R-A, Amatierra, and you can check it on amatierra.com. She runs a healing retreat center, and I'm going to be giving a 5-day workshop on helping you become your authentic self in a retreat setting at hers and Bob's wonderful retreat center in Costa Rica. It's in March the 25th to, I think, the 30th. And I'll get my dates proper for the next hour, and you'll hear about it a lot over the next few months. So sign up. We can only take 12 people, but we're looking forward to a kind of a time where we can actually not only explore these things, but actually move with them do breathing with them, meditation, yoga. There's even going to be a day where there's going to be some equine facilitated learning. I'm not going to do that. There's another couple down there that does that, and do some exploration of the amazing sites in Costa Rica, and just experience the wonderful cooking and the beautiful environment. We'll talk about that more later. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you're listening to Radiance by Design. And if you could be around at the top of the hour, it's going to be a very interesting show talking to Liz Mitten-Ryan and talking to Victoria Havercroft. These are absolutely amazing women. And if you have a few moments, go on to onewiththeherd.com and check out the various things that she's doing. She's got four books. Liz has got four books, one of which I'll talk about today, Sabbatical. I also have a beautiful book, One with the Herd. She has two other books, which include the communications that she receives from the animals. And it'll bring tears to your eyes, I promise. Her pictures are beautiful. The videos and so on her website are amazing. And she's just a wonderful, loving, real-life spiritual being. So you're really going to enjoy Liz Mitten-Ryan at the top of the hour. Thursday night I'll be on with Jackie Salvitti and her team on ET Healing. I'll be talking with her channel team about what their interests are, their preferences, how they see humanity, and maybe how they see Obama, who knows. So that'll be Thursday at 8 o'clock here on BBS Radio. And Radiance by Design next Tuesday when Obama is going in. And also my next Tuesday's guest on Paradigm Shifters is Almeen, who's an amazing channeling being. Oh, my. You can check almine.com. And also, she's got a bunch of YouTubes out there on the web, so you can kind of brush up on her before she's on next Tuesday. All right, this is Veronica Entwistle saying much love to all of you. That's something we can do. We can be the love and pass it on and evolve and move the whole collective. We'll see you in the top of the hour.